Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on AM 1550 KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver, 96.9 in Boulder. I am Joel Cantalamessa. This segment is brought to you by Ed Bozar Chevrolet, Colorado's number one Chevy dealer. Former CSU running back Kyle Bell is the general manager of Ed Bozar Chevrolet in Aurora. He's been helping Ram fans get great new vehicles at fantastic prices. Plus, if you mention you heard his ad on Ram Nation Radio, he'll give you an additional $500 off the sale price. Head into Ed Bozar Chevrolet at 2001 South Havana Street in Aurora. Great sponsors. Thank you, Kyle Bell. Thank you, Ed Bozar Chevrolet. Matt Stevens joins us again for this segment, the reporter and columnist for the Fort Collins, Colorado, has been so gracious to join us for another segment. Matt, you and I, as you mentioned, we talked right after the bowl game there, and following that game and the days after, and you talked to a lot of the players, what was your sense of what went wrong in that game and down the stretch of that season? Was there a distraction with Coach Mack leaving?
No, I think there probably was a little bit of one, even though they won't admit it. They had faith in Dave Baldwin, and I really like Coach Baldwin. They seem to enjoy his waxed attitude. I mean, the first day Mack went left, Mason Myers comes up to me and says, "Dude, they're letting us wear hats now. I mean, that's not something Coach Mack let him do. Didn't let him wear jewelry, especially not on the field." And the players are playing with two earrings, and he's more waxed, and players seem to enjoy that. But you also got to think there was a method to McElwain's madness with keeping things more strict, and it really helped create that program. But no, that can't all explain what went wrong in that game. I think you just had a Utah team that, I hate saying teams want it more, but they played so much better. I mean, that was obvious. CSU should have been able to keep up with Utah, and they fell flat. I mean, they got no push on the offensive line for their running game, and with the fewest rushing yards they've had in games since that loss of Miami of Ohio back in 2009-2010, it was pretty disappointing to watch.
You had a great 40-minute podcast with Mike Bobo that published this week. What kind of guy is he?
I like Coach Bobo. He's a Southern guy a lot more than, I mean, I know Jim McElwain was at Alabama, but he was not a Southern guy. He's from Montana. He sounds like it. He's a, but he's, he seems pretty genuine. And being from Oklahoma, which isn't exactly the South, it's nice to hear a guy with an accent like that. And, good conversation with him. Kelly and I just sat down with him and just talked. And I think it didn't feel really like an interview, at least to me. It just felt more like a conversation. It was nice to have, a coach who's okay with doing that, just chatting, a football coach. And he's met Kelly and I once before. This was his first media availability since the introductory press conference. It's not like we've built a great relationship over the past few weeks, but he was still just great with sitting down, talking about just about anything we wanted to.
And he just completed his staff this week. Who are some of the highlights on that staff, in your opinion?
You look at Tyson Summers from Central Florida run that defense. I think that's probably one of the big ones. But honestly, to me, the biggest hires are the guys he kept. Jeff Hammerschmidt is pretty big. I think the biggest one of all was Marty English. If there was one guy you needed to keep on the staff, it was Marty. And it's also got to be tough for Marty since he was the guy who wanted this job. Him and Dick Baldwin were the ones that are going after it to try to replace Jim McElwain, and neither of them obviously got it. So, in a way, that's pretty tough for Marty to stick around like that. But he spent his entire career coaching at the University of Northern Colorado, Wyoming, and CSU. He's a guy who knows this area. No one recruits better than he does. And the staff, other than the guys who are returning, they don't have the connections to this area. So you need a guy like Marty. And I'm very glad to see that Coach Bobo is keeping Marty English. And I think Alvis Whitted was a good hire, too. He you talk to coaches out there, and he's an up-and-comer in the assistant coach ranks. And obviously, some good, decent NFL playing experience, and he's huge for the development of these wide receivers. I mean, you look at Rashard Higgins, he was good as a freshman, he was phenomenal this year as a sophomore. It wasn't just playing in the Mountain West, like some people argued about, Capri Bibbs, and maybe even B. Hart, which I think is fair, but Rashard Higgins is a phenomenal wide receiver. He's going to be playing in the NFL one day and making plenty of money. I really like that Rashard says that he's going to stick around 4 years and get his degree. And I think having Alvis Wiz here makes that decision a little bit easier.
I really like the hire of Alvis as well. And it was interesting because, and those guys pretty much kept their same job, but with Coach English, he's actually taking a demotion going from the defensive coordinator. But you're right, he is going to be an integral part as far as recruiting in the state, and I assume that they'll keep all of the same territories that those guys were already in. Have you heard of any talk about who's going to take what recruiting territories? Has that been decided yet as far as you know?
Not yet, not that I'm aware of. I mean, obviously the assistants do most of the on-the-ground recruiting, but you look at what Coach Bobo did at Georgia. You know, he owns South Georgia, but then he has a five-star quarterback that's coming to Georgia next year that's from Seattle that he recruited. Matthew Stafford was from Dallas that he recruited. I believe he was the guy from Oshawn Moreno. So he's comfortable not necessarily using these traditional pipeline schools have, and I gotta think TCU might start to adapt that. You know, of course you're gonna try to get Colorado, Texas, maybe a little Florida and California, but I have a feeling that they're gonna start branching out a little bit more than what we're used to.
Matt Stevens, the reporter and columnist for the Fort Collins, Colorado, has been joining us tonight. Let's switch over to basketball, Matt. Wednesday night, you wrote the column Moby Sadness, and basically it was about how CSU cannot get it lulled into this Moby Sadness after starting off the season 14-0, and now they've lost their last two in conference play, kind of questioning where the Ram team of old went. What has happened to this team? Losing on the road at New Mexico is not so disturbing, although it was they didn't play that well there, but losing at home to your rival in a very ugly fashion. There was nothing real good about that game, as you had mentioned in your column. What's happened over the last several weeks?
It's just offense. They can't get anything to fall from three. And that was so huge for them the first half of the season. I mean, there were a handful of games where they started, the first basket was, you know, a three-pointer by CSU in the first 10 seconds by Daniel Bejarano. That might not have been an advised shot, but hit it, and CSU would just roll from long range. Now they can't hit anything, and teams are realizing they can run a 2-3 zone, stretch it out on CSU. The Rams can't do a lot to stop it. I mean, Larry Shiat hates running the zone defense. Yeah, they didn't run all game, but they ran it quite a bit last night against CSU, where they just guard the perimeter, where CSU doesn't really get a decent look, and then when they try to drive the lane, everyone just collapses. No CSU player dishes outside, where CSU is missing so many layups and not getting that many really easy looks at the layups. CSU has to find something, a mid-range game. Teal Daniels needs to realize that I've never seen a game where he's not physically the strongest player on the court. He had that 5-second violation last night when he caught the ball in the post, put the ball on the ground real quick. All of a sudden, he had three guys around him, nowhere to go, turnover. Just go up. He had another one. He just had this bunny hop against Larry Nance. He would have just dunked. It would have gone in. CSU's got to realize there's a lot of potential there. The way CSU played earlier in the year, it worked. And it wasn't because they were playing poor opponents. I mean, they weren't the big names, but you look at last night's game. CSU entered ranked 14th in the RPI. Wyoming was 122 in the RPI. CSU loses to a sub-100 RPI team and only falls 6 spots in the official NCAA RPI. I know that's not everything. Obviously, Wyoming's a great team that was receiving 11 points last week in the AP Top 25 poll. But the reason CSU didn't fall that much was because they have played a pretty good non-conference schedule against opponents that, while they're not the biggest names, are actually pretty good teams, like UC Santa Barbara with Alan Williams. You look at RJ Hunter and Georgia State, Kevin Ware, what they have. CSU has played a good schedule. Now come conference play, it's almost like they don't realize that their good start wasn't because of a poor schedule, it was because of really good play.
What was Larry Stacey's demeanor after the game? He, you know, he's so fiery during the games, but then you see him on the post-game interviews, and it's almost like he's choosing his words carefully. There, I have no doubt he probably went in the locker room and gave a good chewing on their effort and execution, but you know, in the post-game interview, he talks about how, you know, this is just a slump, and we'll get out of the slump, and this team has a much higher ceiling than Wyoming does. And do you sense any concern from him at all, or is this really just a slump in his mind?
It's hard to read him sometimes post-game especially, because at least when I've never seen him blow up post-game. It's usually win or lose, the same demeanor. If they win, sometimes there's a joke every once in a while, but you know, he just feels actually disappointed for the players and yada yada yada, and then if they win, I'm really happy for the players. And even doesn't really matter what you ask him. The only time I've really seen him upset was when, you know, a couple times last year when he didn't like something that I know a lot of the Ram Nation readers know, where it was the column by Miles about the week's schedule that, you know, Larry didn't like, so he decided for a couple of games he wasn't going to answer my questions. But that was the most upset I've really ever seen him. And so he's pretty steady demeanor, and for the record, he wasn't like yelling, he just said he wasn't going to answer anything. So he's a steady demeanor. I asked him, will these next couple practices and game in Air Force really be telling to see how Air Force or how CSU bounces back? And he just responds himself, we'll bounce back.
Yeah,
they have to do it pretty soon, because look at the conference standings. I know we're only three games into the conference schedule, but CSU is really three games behind Wyoming if you look at a tiebreaker, so you better start making shots quick.
Yeah, Larry's technical at the end of the first half. You know, you talk about his demeanor. It is so different when he's on the court. But that technical at the end of the first half was such a big swing that CSU had finally clawed back and tied the game, and he goes and gets that tee that gave, you know, Wyoming two free throws in the ball. And then sometimes when you have a tee, it usually sparks your team. You know, they went into the locker room and they came out in the second half, and it didn't give them any more energy. Wyoming had run out to like a 6 or 7 point run to start the second half too. So that's just interesting how you see those two different sides of Eustachy on and off the court.
That technical too is, a lot of times when Larry gets his technicals, they're strategic technicals. That one wasn't. That was, I think he was a little surprised. The whistle seemed quick to me. I know he'd been barking quite a bit, but so had Larry Schiatt. And it really, so if the officiating crew didn't determine the game, I mean, CSU just didn't play well. However, that kind of, the old Saturday Night Live intro from the 1970s, that crew seemed like they're not quite ready for primetime players out there. and with that really technical, he wasn't in a position to really work the refs the rest of the game like he usually does. And that really probably hurt CSU.
Matt, we got time for one more quick question. Got about a minute left. Do you think that CSU can right the ship? I mean, they play at Air Force. It's not always easy to win down there at Clune. It's almost like it lulls you to sleep. It's a small arena. They got that Section 8, the student section there, cadet section. How does CSU match up with Air Force? Even though that it seems like CSU is always favored down there, it almost seems to be a hornet's nest.
I think you look at Air Force this year, and they just lost who I feel is their best player in Cameron Williams. I know Max Young is their best scorer, but a complete player, I think Cameron Williams is it, and he's out for the year. And that puts CSU in a good spot to win. I really hate to see Cam be out like that, but that's good news for CSU. Max Young's the outside shooter, and that's about the gist of it. So if CSU doesn't win this game and win by double digits, I hope he's surprised. But, you know, say they do, there's still a good chance for CSU to right the ship. I think the Mountain West champ this year will have probably four losses. If CSU can really split, they end up splitting with Wyoming, split with San Diego State and New Mexico, they'll still have a good shot at winning this conference. You just can't have any more unexpected losses. I mean, going to Boise State should be a win. Boise State is not that good this year. CSU has a chance, but they can play the best defense they want. If they don't start scoring points, it's going to be a long year.
Hey, Matt, I really appreciate your time tonight. Thanks for joining us for a couple of segments. There's going to be some interesting stuff coming up here with as the conference play continues on and the Mountain West Championships and then spring ball. So would love to talk to you again coming up here in the next couple months.
Absolutely, Joel, anytime.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a great night. That was Matt Stevens, reporter and columnist for the Fort Collins Coloradoan. We thank him for his time. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I want to thank all of our sponsors. They are the ones that make this show possible. If you are in the market for any of their services, please give them first shot at your business. I am Joel Cantalamessa. It's been a pleasure talking about the Rams with you tonight. You've been listening to Ram Nation Radio and Mile High Sports. We'll see you next Friday night. Go Rams.